This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Afternoon and welcome to another edition of Nailed It on Guardian 96.9 FM. My name is Leonard Sands.
And my name is Debbie Deal.
And today we are very happy to be in the homes of tens of thousands of Bahamians. Like everyone's been saying today, on the eve of another general election, Debbie. And like most of us, we cannot wait for this all to be over because with all the going-ons of everything that happens in our world, we get to see the sillier side of our friends and family and cousins, and I would dare say on radio, a lot of it is quite embarrassing, and I really can't wait until they get to be their normal selves because I really like them better that way.
Yeah.
Now, because this is the last day before Tuesday, this is the Thursday before Tuesday, we're going to depart slightly from our regularly scheduled conversation and address some of the wish lists for this electoral period. I have some things written down here, Debbie.
Okay.
I have six things. One, the Ministry of Public Works. Two, the Construction Contractors Act. Three, the way we finance construction. Four, build versus buy. Five, what's in it for me? And six, Bahamas Mortgage Corp. So this is my solutions as they were to the existing problems in the space that Debbie and I and tens of thousands of contractors work. All of these agencies we engage with, some of them on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. Some of them we have challenges, more challenges with than others. So if I were campaigning for the votes of the construction community, I'm going to give you, I am Mr. Wannabe MP for construction. This is my take on it. If elected, the first thing I would do in the Ministry of Public Works is I would enable all licensed professionals to be able to carry out all levels of inspections for the Ministry of Public Works. For examples, let me clarify that. In other jurisdictions, architects and engineers and quantity surveyors who are RICS chartered and was not or the likes of them and cost consultants are all licensed professionals in the space. And they are no less valuable and in most cases more qualified to read the letter of the inspection report and determine whether the rebar is placed in the right place, if the roof has hurricane clips on it.
And the proper pit. Oh, they don't care.
No, that's not part of it. Again, it's so
vague.
No, but I want to say it differently.
Okay.
It is so remedial that you could train a fifth grader how to do it. But yet, most of the industry is handcuffed and handcuffed on waiting on an inspectorate to come and do that, where they do not have the capacity to go everywhere where they need to go. And I speak specifically on the family of islands,
right,
where you have to wait some time for the ministry to fly in to look at your residential footing for a 10 by 12 room addition with three number steel bars and a 16-inch trench. Like, are you kidding me?
I'm pretty sure that they have been addressing that for the Family Islands, and they do have a list of architects and engineers that have been able to do inspections and stuff.
Well, they need to make that public, so we can put it on our website, as we've done so for all the approved and licensed electricians, and the licensed plumbers can be found on the Bahamian Contractors Association's
website. Because even when we spoke with DEP, or she isn't like that, Department of Environmental Planning and Protection, they were even talking about the fact that they were doing that for the Family Islands to make it a lot easier for persons, instead of being stuck, you know, in a situation where we can't really move forward. You know, and then, of course, we don't have enough inspectors here.
We still don't have enough.
So we can't, you know, if we fly two or three of them out to one north and one south, then we don't have anybody. No. So, I agree with that. And then
I get your vote, Debbie?
You got my vote.
Thank you.
You'd have to.
Canadian Bahamian vote. I got to work on the rest.
Well, you know, Tuesday's a free day for me because I can't vote.
the part of my platform, part two of my platform, Debbie, Construction Contractors Act. If I were the person who had responsibility for the Ministry of Public Works on day one, I would appoint the Construction Contractors Board.
Me too.
With the sole purpose of issuing licenses to all contractors in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, bringing in the regime that would certainly improve the quality of buildings in the country, certainly give construction and contractors the respect they deserve as qualified professionals in the space, and usher in a new era of training requirements for all persons and ongoing training to maintain your license.
And there's probably one thing that they also have to do when they do choose their persons for the board, is there's something on the actual act that has to be updated because the 2 years has long passed.
Yeah,
so that needs to be, but that's a simple change that any lawyer could do, and then it could go to cabinet at any particular point in time to get approved properly make sure that we don't have a fight later on as this never was done.
Make the date CICERA 2028. That's 2 days from 2026, which is I would make it effective 2 years post the 12th of May 2026. That means it expires in the 12th of May 2028. That's your 2 years right there. It's done. Yeah. It's not
and
hard.
Yesterday was our 10-year anniversary.
Yesterday was 10. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, yes. And on that note, Debbie. Yeah. Yesterday, the 8th. No.
Wasn't yesterday the 6th?
No. Tomorrow is the 10-year anniversary. Because that is 8th of May.
No, well, it says 10th. I mean, it says the 6th.
It says the 6th.
Okay. 6th, yeah.
Well, maybe it got received or sent the 6th, but I remember the gazetting being the 8th of May. Well, this week,
yes.
It would be 10 years since the Construction Contractors Act passed. And then thirdly, this is where we're going to spend a little time. And then I'm going to give out the numbers because I want persons to call in and join in at this part. So I'm going to give you a topic first. The way we finance construction. This is going to piggyback on something that was in the papers today, I think from Mr. Gow, not today, this week from Gow and Bo and some other person. And then on Facebook, it took on its own life, a really, really good conversation about it. The way we finance construction. The numbers for you to call in and join this conversation, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. And the Family of Islands can join us in 300-5720, and please text us on BTC Power Text 422-47. The way we finance construction. Now, when I say we, and I underline we is the Bahamas. We is the Bahamas, and we probably is Jamaica. We probably is Barbados and Bermuda and all the other places. most of their commercial buyings are Canadian. Mm-hmm. If not all, 99.9% are Canadian. Mm-hmm. And the challenge with financing construction, why banks are shy, is that 25 years ago, they got really, really railroaded because of, guess what? Fraudulent, unknowledgeable, not should be in the industry contractors.
Right, walking away.
Pretty much were walking away with your money,
yep.
taking your deposits, not mm-hmm. doing the job, or starting the job, not finishing the job, or doing any other number of things. Mm-hmm. And it would not have happened had they been dealing with licensed contractors. But banks came to the country, took a risk, and they got shafted. I get it.
And
they got shafted.
Another thing that is a bit of a challenge for us is because if you, let's say, do go to one of the Canadian banks for mortgage financing, they can't get it approved here. It has to go to Canada to get approved,
which
takes a little
like,
bit of time.
Okay, so extra. Joe Blow Construction wants $389,000.
And isn't licensed.
And you're going to lend it to Joe Blow Construction, right? Is this right, Mr. Bank Manager? Yeah. So you're going to lend it to Joe Blow Construction, and he's going to finish this, he says, in 2 weeks. Is that real? Can someone check that? None of that went on, and people got shafted. We got a caller. Let's take a moment for this caller. Caller, you're live. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you?
I am a builder.
Yes, sir.
I never liked the word contractor.
No, that's
contractors,
fine.
To me, it's like a con man.
The actual word,
the word protractor.
Excuse me, the actual word contractor is a person that that gets paid to do a service. That's all a contractor is.
Right. So when we call, when see what I see with contractors, right, especially mm-hmm. contractors that build for poor people
mm-hmm.
or people
they can't be poor if they wouldn't
they,
be building.
They shortcut their work,
mm-hmm.
right? They like they. I see a guy he put a 5/8 steel in a 3.5-inch wall for a dollar. He put a you know what I'm saying? He using 5/8 rebar
mm-hmm.
and for in a 3.5-inch wall, an interior wall now.
That's a lot of rebar inside a small wall.
Right, and then he would come on a job as a contractor. He have masons, and he can't lay a block. Never mm-hmm. don't know nothing about laying a block with these contracting blocks mm-hmm. as a general contractor, right? That his masons can't lay a 4-inch block. They have no regard for pipes. You understand me? Whether it's plumbing or electrical mm-hmm. pipe, a 4-inch wall now.
Mm-hmm.
How could you lay a 4-inch wall with no regard for conduit?
I don't know. I know it's very difficult, even if they have regard for doing the wall. Well, it's only 4 inches.
But funnily enough, right. when I used to build new construction, which I basically don't do that anymore, is all of the rough-in would be in the foundation. So I wouldn't even have to worry about that. I might have to worry about maybe if it was not put in the exact spot that it was supposed to be in to make sure it comes in. Yeah, so it's not flush on the outside of a wall or something.
But
even the interior walls, the electrical was always done because very seldom did we do overhead.
Yeah. But
see, like a 4-inch wall, you know, roughing uh-huh. is done in the floor, but there's some roughing that has to go up the block at 4-inch
yeah,
wall, like say a switch.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah,
me?
I understand.
Yeah,
so
switch would
what you're saying, caller, is that there are persons like we maintain, and we agree with you,
mm-hmm.
there are persons who are contractors in this space, in this industry, in the Bahamas, who really should not be contractors. And I agree with you. And that's the reason why we advocated for the Construction Contractors Act that would license contractors professionally. We actually got it passed, got it approved, everything. We're just waiting for the board to be appointed so that we could regulate and manage the industry. And I think that would be a benefit for everyone, especially persons like you who have a keen eye for construction and know what should be happening.
Let me give you a scenario, right? Okay, let's look at a 4-inch wall, right?
Mm-hmm.
Within that 4-inch wall, you have a panel, a distribution panel, right? So how do you put a distribution panel in a 4-inch wall?
I don't think it does.
In other words, there's a section of the wall where the panel is. You could put a 6-inch wall
yeah.
and transition. You understand me? Go from a 6-inch wall to a 4-inch wall.
But you got to know.
On both sides.
Caller, you got to know.
Right. So
that's what we talk about. You got to know.
Contractors that don't know how to do that, and masons that don't know how to do that. You understand me? Okay, my Mike and me as a builder, My first trade was electrician as an installator.
Mm-hmm.
Right, then I went into masonry. I learned masonry carpentry the same time. Mm-hmm. I never let nobody work around me. The plumber could never work around. In fact, I worked in a hotel. You understand me, in engineering, right? Where I had to do everything.
I love that. I love to mm-hmm. hear your passion, and I love to hear what you're yeah. saying. And I only wish that you would lend your voice to the community to let them know this is why we need licensed contractors.
Right. And also, wouldn't you... Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Like, let's look at you have suppliers, right? Selling rebar without rebar wagon wheels. How could you sell a rebar without rebar wagon wheels? And only person that people, contractors that have the rebar wagon wheels are the large contractors that they bring them in themselves.
But you could buy them online. I just bought a box of them.
You understand what I'm saying?
Week?
So the
yeah.
person that's billing for the small man, he's not using those
no.
things. He,
no.
He's only concerned about getting the work done fast, pouring the concrete. I experienced working supervised in a high-end job, right? The general contractor would bring in his a primary inspector before the government inspector come.
It happens.
Before we pour concrete, before we do reinforced concrete. You understand what I'm saying? So you have contractors working. They call themselves experienced contractors. Some people call themselves architects, but have no regard for the engineer.
But
we buy engineer, and so. This is why we have a lot of problems in this country, the construction.
And Carla, I got to go to the next call, so I thank you very much for your call, but I want to say this on closing, that all of these issues that you highlighted, those are some of the main points that we're trying to address, and we fight to address with having the professional standard for contractors, so the things that you talk about won't be an issue moving forward, and people will get the right kind of services from professionals who know what they're doing.
Well, let me ask you a question. So when you get your drawing from your architect, right, and then oftentimes it'll have the other three sections of which may not be the architect, it might be the engineering company does that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But wouldn't that be considered like when they were doing the drawing that they would know that the panel is going into a particular wall?
And you flag it right there.
And you would put a 6-inch wall?
Yep,
yeah. Ministry should have flagged that.
But the ministry,
as well as...
The ministry wouldn't. And that's where we talk about, Debbie. See, your experience... as a professional builder, and my experience is the same. If I see that going in the 4-inch wall, I call out that, highlight that and say, I tell you what, this wall has to be 6-inch.
Right.
Because what's going to happen is that 4-inch, the panel itself is almost 4 inches deep.
Mm-hmm.
I say, it can't go in that wall.
Yeah.
It'll have nothing behind it.
You'd have to put Duroc or something on the back of it. And why should you do that?
Why don't we make this a 6-inch
yeah,
wall?
Makes sense.
That's where a contractor mm-hmm. knowing his skill comes into play.
Right.
So again, part of what we'd like to see happen with the Construction Contractors Act is training for contractors, not just the one-off course that we do, and it's a great course, but ongoing training.
Correct.
How do you do masonry properly?
Right.
How does electrical integrate into what you're doing in the building? How does the plumbing work? And so this ongoing learning makes the contractor better and makes the product better. And
correct.
Now, the financing. I just want to complete the thought of mm-hmm. financing, because I'm pitching this to the Bahamian public. Vote for me. The Mr. Construction Guy for the industry. This May 12th, I will not be on the ballot, but I should be, but I'm not on the ballot. What I'd like is in other jurisdictions, because you have to pay the mortgage anyhow, mm-hmm. Debbie, dealers have paid the mortgage. Let mm-hmm. me tell you what they do in America.
Uh-huh.
They say, Debbie, your account is 111-999-888, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
That's your account number.
Okay.
Debbie said, I got a contractor.
Is there any money in it?
There's no money in it yet.
Darn.
The bank says, Debbie, that's your account number. They set up an account for you, which means that's your mortgage account. This is the money you need. What they do in America, Debbie comes to them and say, this is the estimate I got from a contractor. I need $350,000. They're going to do this addition or this new house for me. Okay, fine, Debbie. Sign this mortgage paper that says, if you don't pay us, I take your stuff. Yeah. Debbie signs on the dotted line. Good. You know what they do? They wire Debbie the money. They close the door and say, that's your problem now. They say, now, Debbie, you say you can find the contractor. They say you can manage your relationship and you can make sure your house gets built. You know why I like that? It is hardly likely that the person who stands alone to lose their property is going to let someone mismanage their monies that they have in their hands. The banks in the Bahamas think they can do a better job of doing that than the person. I don't agree with them. Debbie, I don't know how much money is in your purse, but I know one thing. That purse is close to your right hand. You're right-handed, aren't you? You know why that purse is close to your right hand? Because you're protecting your money. I didn't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. If I put the money in your hand to do a renovation to your house and you have to manage the money, no banker could manage your money better than you.
Right.
The minute you sign that document, it's no longer their money. That's your money because who owns the debt to repay it? You. And this is how they do it in America. And we wonder why America's home building is so fast. First of all, the financing system in America is pure financing. The financing system in the Bahamas is financing and management. And I had, when I went to the BRX conference, great conference, and I sat down and I talked with all the banks. Scotiabank, Commonwealth Bank, RBC, they were all there. Fantastic. And we all had the same argument. I said, why are you guys trying to manage construction? So what do you mean? Well, y'all are managing how the client gets the money to give to the contractor. Why are y'all in that relationship? Why are you, oh, because you know what time people get. I say, yeah, I hear that. I hear that. But when y'all get involved in it, y'all think y'all are managing. Y'all are fine. I said, ma'am, give me your background. I said, I stopped the conversation. Give me your background. I went to CB Bell High School. Okay, good. You finished that. I went to UB. Okay, what did you do? Finance. Good. And now what's your job? I'm a mortgage officer at said and said bank. Good. Notice in none of that you talk about doing anything about construction. So why do you think you could manage the construction process that the client is engaged in?
So what about the situation then that happened to me? So I just want to bring this back up again. All right. So if ABC Bank gave you $300,000 to build the project, right, and you hired a contractor, right? Okay. And you got to a particular stage, and then you decided that you weren't going to pay the contractor. What would the contractor do?
But, and that happens too. But that's where we need the other part of our legislation that we're trying to get.
Right.
Which is the construction liens. Because at that point in time, there's nothing the bank can do. It's nothing the client can do who've decided to withhold your money. But if you had lien laws in place, I put a lien on the property. You can't do anything to the property until you satisfy the lien.
Well, remember back in, you were just a little boy playing with alleys at that point in time. But back in 1987, when we were, the Contractors Association was having their meetings at Dandelion School.
Well, that was back in the day.
Back in the day, the reason that it wasn't passed or even sent in to get passed was the larger construction companies did not want to sign anything with lien laws in it because they were the worst culprits at the time.
They probably were.
Yeah. So,
but this is why, and I'm glad you brought it up, Debbie. But protection goes both ways. I often say I am not a fan.
Well, you know, I will never work for anybody.
I know.
Ever, if they're getting money from a bank.
Of course, but I say protection works both ways. I definitely don't agree with a lot of the things that the state does in a lot of respects. But protection goes both ways. I also recognize that there's a value in the state doing some things. So laws,
there's definitely a lot of room for improvement.
Improvement.
To make it actually work better for the client, for the contractor, and the financial institution.
But if I were
the prime minister,
the person in charge of construction, I would create a special purpose vehicle, because we love this word here, where the client could get the money to do what they want to do, because at the end of the day, they're on the hook for the asset. They're on the hook for the repayment anyway. Just well, let them give control. Right. I do not like I always say, the overreach of banks, because they're lending you the money to then determine how the money is disposed of, because at the end of the day, most times, the banking system that they think they are vetting it. Let me say this clearly. No bank or no banking officer has a crystal ball to know whether the person who engaged with the client is going to defraud them or not. That's not possible to determine.
Correct.
So whether you hold the money close to your chest or not, the guy or woman still could defraud you. So you're not, They say, oh, we're safeguarding, we're protecting the client's money. No, you're not.
But with the Contractors Construction Act, there are
Remedies.
There are remedies and remedies.
That's all.
For the clients, yeah. I mean, contractors can be penalized.
Yeah,
we can be thrown in jail.
That's the only thing that could happen.
We could lose our license.
That's,
you know, so the client penalties, the same way. Yes.
But you can still have fraudsters. That's not
going to
change.
Well, that's true.
You're never going to get
away. That'll happen everywhere in the world, unfortunately.
And I will speak to this. So that whole thing where they say only 50% of mortgages that apply for are being approved out of 100, it's because they think they're protecting. But I often tell them one thing. I am a contractor and not a bank. I can lend you money. The interest rate is very high. So if the financing model does not work the way I can build it, I'm not going to be the contractor.
Right.
And if I already did my due diligence and figured that out, I can guarantee you no one else is going to come up with a more creative way to make it work unless they use their money, which I'm not doing because the company may end in bank, but it's not a bank.
Right.
I just want to make that very clear.
Yeah.
So the banking institution is financing your product. And I do not like this conversation. I'm going to say it again on the air. I do not like the conversation where there's a presumption. And I don't care who thinks this is right. You're absolutely wrong. Debbie Deal should not go to her bank and take $50,000 out and finance the first stage of your project because it's at $500,000 and then you get reimbursed.
I would never do that.
You're not a bank.
Never.
You shouldn't.
That. No.
They went to a bank to finance a job.
If I wanted a house in Staples and Gardens and that was your house, then you, no. But I have my house.
Exactly.
So I don't need to.
No.
Build a house there.
No. And I told straight face, I told another client, I say, and this is a doctor, I say, you with a straight face are expecting me to go to my bank and draw down $75,000 and then wait for a check from your financing company.
What if you were doing 10 houses for, that happens? That has happened. We've all been in a situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Where would we come up with that money?
I don't know. So, No. And I'd say this to all contractors. No, do not do it. We're not banks.
No, we shouldn't do it.
We're contractors.
We should not do it.
They figure out how to pay us. We don't figure out how to come up with money for them.
You know, sometimes I think a contractor will just say, oh, I really need the job. I really need the job. And I want this job. I want all the jobs.
Mm.
But that's when you get yourself stuck.
Yeah, in trouble. So we got a text. Text writes, what is this knocking sound you would hear in your ceiling, especially at night?
A rat? A raccoon?
Well,
oh, it could be the pipes.
It could be the pipes.
Plumbing pipes.
And that's what I was thinking.
Yeah,
and you only hear it because it's quiet.
Right.
And someone turning on the water and the pipes are not strapped. And
yes,
so they bounce.
Right.
That's the pressure of the water makes
right.
them bounce.
See, in the old days, we had to strap them.
Yes.
But now we've got this foam spray. So we can actually spray them in place.
And hold them in place.
Yeah.
So that's what you would hear.
I would think so.
Yeah. I'm pretty certain that's what you hear.
Yeah.
And moving on to my fourth, I don't know, my plan. This is a plan / manifesto. So I take in both from political parties. This is my manifesto plan. So I got both. Build versus buy. Now, I'm a contractor.
Mm-hmm.
I like to build. So I'm an advocate for building.
Uh-huh.
It was a topic that came up at, again, the BRX conference. We had a great time discussing it. We did not have enough time to go into all the details. I like to build for under one condition, that you know what you want, you have the patience to wait for it, and you have the right contractor. If that's not the three things you've considered beforehand, then buy. And then I become on the other side of it. I love buying because immediately once you buy something, you could move in. Immediately once you buy something, you could make improvements to it.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately when you buy something, you have valuable asset.
And you have electricity,
you have water, you have everything ready to go.
Right.
So if you want to create something that's your own, by all means, build.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to buy something and then make improvements, then buy. But I think the important question is decide first which one of those are for you. I don't like when people go to contractor and ask them, what should I do? What do you want to do?
Yeah.
I can't tell you what to do. I can give you a range of options based on what you tell me you want. But I know one thing. You need to make the decision, because if it goes right, you made the decision. If it goes wrong, you made the decision. Don't put that on someone else.
Right. And if you do decide to buy an existing building, don't you personally be the only person who does a walkthrough of that building and looks at what it is, because you may not know what plumbing should be, what electrical should be, what air conditioning should be. You don't know why there's pipes all over the place, because you don't know those kind of things. Make sure you have a professional walk through with you and point out particular things that they would suggest to be fixed, adjusted, redone,
or whatever.
Yes.
I remember and on that point, I did an assessment for a potential homeowner. Looked at this nice three-story condo townhouse, great area, and then we start to do the assessment. And then I asked questions, because I looked around, ceilings are low.
Mm.
I didn't see any rough-in for air conditioning.
So
I asked, the plans, did they say there's no air conditioning? Yeah, see the equipment pad outside, okay? And now I'm looking.
That's one thing.
Wooden floor joists.
Oh, no.
Wooden floor joists. And I'm looking at where the equipment pad is, and I'm looking at the bridging between the joists, and I'm thinking, how is that going to get the air from wherever that's going to go to all the way on this side of the room, unless they put a bulkhead around the entire space.
And make it look pretty and fancy.
Yeah.
And then it's still too low.
And it's already low. And now it's lower at the bulkhead. And I'm like, yeah. Mm. And then you go upstairs and they got windows you can't see out of. And so they put another floor on top of the floor to make the height so you could see out the window, because the window is so
high.
They
put the window that high?
Yeah, you couldn't see out of it. So they put another floor on top of the floor. Then you could see. Your nose can get to the bottom of the windowsill.
But that means if you're going, when you're stepping, going on the stairs, you'd have to make sure that that floor was done so that when you stepped on the stairs, that one step would be not a Cricket Club step.
No,
it would be a.
It's a lot worse than that. So we saw that. And then there's just a host of other issues. And I'm like, okay, so the purchase price is this. But what you really need to do to get this right first, then spend another probably XYZ, you need to put another $300,000. He said, what? And they already asked me like $450,000. Yeah, so you're looking at $675,000, $700,000. I'm like,
sometimes when you go to look at a house to buy, where it is, the property and the property value and the neighborhood that you're in, the house alone doesn't even mean anything. The property,
property
is the value.
And then that's agreed by.
Yes. Yeah, we have
another. We got a caller. Caller, you're live. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Hi.
I'm speaking to the gentleman.
Yes, sounds.
You as a Mr. Minister.
Mm-hmm. Minister of Construction.
Yeah, getting everything all nice up. keeping the guys in line.
Absolutely.
And I'm wondering, would you be a proponent of a construction union, which is so vital to construction workers and their family, and the Bahamas on a whole?
Okay, now, I like the question. Thank you for the question. Thank you for the question, because I've heard the question before. So I have to take off my hat, which is president of the Contractors Association, and then I just want to put on my singular hat as individual in the construction industry. So hats off now. I do not disagree with unions in the sense of the training that it comes with in construction. Now, full disclosure, I got my training in Kansas City, Missouri, 2 years. I worked on KU Heart Hospital. I worked on a 15-story high-rise complex, 2 years in Kansas. It's a union state, if you know anything with Missouri. It's a blue union state. And I will say this. I have never met a group of more professional, trained, skilled people in construction in my entire life for 20 plus years.
Okay.
A carpenter is the most brilliant guy you will ever meet if he's a union carpenter. An electrician will wire up a box that looks like Picasso did it. That's the training they get in the union shop.
Why I ask
I love that it, question. But it is costly.
Why I ask that question?
Mm-hmm.
Watching the Bahamas.
Yeah.
From a young man in construction,
mm-hmm.
I realize that everyone who tried
to do it,
create a construction union, was met with abrupt, vehement opposition.
Mm-hmm. Of course. And I can tell you the second part why. So the challenge with that is that right now, caller, there is the concern already that the cost of construction is high. I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, the cost of construction goes up exponentially with trained people in construction. Because what we're getting away with right now is untrained people in construction building houses. When you train people in construction, you're not paying the same rate for labor anymore. You're not paying the same rate for the carpenter. You're not paying the same rate for the plumber. You're not, I'm telling you. So that is my only caveat that I put to it.
It's a big thing. It's a big thing.
It's a big thing. But it will cost a lot.
Workers and their family.
I get that. I get that.
We could have, if we
but we don't want to pay for it,
not
caller.
So union busting.
But we don't want to pay for it.
We would not be where we are right now today in those islands. They would have had the proper infrastructure. We would have a trained, viable, educated workforce.
But no one could pay for it. The public doesn't want to pay for it. Call, I got an next call on the line. I thank you for the question, but I got to go. Yeah, I want to make that point. The public don't want to pay for it. Let me take this next call and then I'll explain why. Caller, you're live. Go ahead. Caller, go ahead.
Don't be shy.
Okay, producer, I think they switched to the next line. So why I say that is this. Debbie, on average, the unskilled laborer in this country makes between $7 and $8 an hour. I want the public to hear me properly, please. This is an unskilled person. They make between $7 and $8 an hour. At a 40-hour week,
$320.
They're making $320. They only have the ability to carry a bucket, a block, hold a piece of wood for you. They have no skill. They don't know how to do anything.
Way above minimum wage.
Way above minimum wage. And they have no skill. Now, imagine now, that person is making $320 a week. You now train that individual. He goes to union trade school. A part of his wages out is going to pay for that. That's why they get paid more. Because a good part of that, let's say $50 a week, is paying for his union trade school. Yeah, out of his salary. That's why they get paid more. So now when he comes from that first junior class, takes him with 6 months to a year, he's making, because now you have to pay him, and the way the union works, you're paid based on your qualifications. So now you get the first, what we call it, white hat. He's now a apprentice carpenter. He's now at $460 a week. Now the $50 comes out of his salary, so he's still making over $400. He's at now at a junior carpenter level. He's making $550, almost $6. When he gets a blue hat and he's a union carpenter, his weekly pay jumps between $900 and $1,200 a week.
Wow.
You are paying that person now. So you are getting away paying a guy $320. You're now paying 3 to 4 times that cost. And that's why I often say, if you go online right now and look at, and they'll tell you, look at union wage rates. I would like, to, a union carpenter makes $90,000 a year. $90,000. We're not paying guys in the Bahamas $90,000 as a carpenter. Carpenter makes here, a good carpenter in the Bahamas makes anywhere between $800 to $1,000 a week. Last time I checked, 1,000 times 52 weeks is 52,000. A union carpenter makes $90,000 to $110,000.
Wow, so a house that is
$300,000
would probably cost about
$600,000 to $700,000. And the house that you're paying in the Bahamas at $600,000 to $700,000 costs you $1.3 million, $1.4 million. And the houses that we are building for $1.3 million, $1.4 million are costing you $3.8 million, $4 million. And the houses that we're building that costing you $4 million are costing you double that.
And right now, without the union, the laborer is now making more than
minimum wage
already.
Without all of it.
About $100 more a week.
Exactly.
Yes.
So, I mean, and I'm not against it. I'm for it. But I understand what it means. And I understand the marketplace that Debbie and
I are in
all the time.
Training and all that.
The training would be great. Oh. But the customer who's fighting with us all day about the cost of things is not prepared to pay for that. There's our music. We got to go to a break. Call it. Just hold on a couple of minutes or call back. And we'll be back right after the break.
When we started StormFrame Windows in 1999, we wanted to fabricate an impact-rated product to compete with the Florida market, and we've done this. There's no fabricator or vendor from Florida that can do what we can in the Bahamas. Because we fabricate locally and we're a local-based company, we have the capability to provide better customer service than our competitors. With all the worldwide supply chain issues, we at StormFrame have improved our fabrication process and have invested in stock to be able to produce our orders in 4 weeks. We also keep in stock over 400 windows and doors at standard sizes for walk-in customers to purchase. Our professional sales staff is here to assist you with the complete purchase and installation. We also service and ship to the Outer Islands.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
The all-new CBSBahamas.com is faster, smarter, and we've made it even easier to browse our inventory of over 11,000 products. Earn reward points with every online purchase. Check out our new AI-powered chat assistant, available 24/7. You can even select a date and time for items to be delivered to your house, job site, or the mailboat. Our Family Island customers are loving it. Build beautiful throughout the Bahamas with the new CBSBahamas.com.
Main purpose for a lot of customers coming in and out these doors is because of the relationship built with them. Once they're comfortable, they could relate to me better.
We don't only sell paint, we sold people.
Some customers need extra patience.
Whatever your paint or patience needs, the entire Sherwin-Williams Paints team are ready to show you some good customer service.
Sherwin-Williams Bahamas, find color in every day.
All right, now the last people supposed to answer this, either they brain was frizz or a couple of screws was loose.
Not me, bro. I sharp. I get this.
Yeah, you sharp as a button, man.
All right, I can see just how sharp y'all is, because you skip a button on your shirt. Well, anyhow. All right, question is, it doesn't rust.
Uh-huh.
No corrosion. It's lighter and stronger than its opponent. What is it?
I know this. I know, but it's steel?
Nope. Wrong answer. Fiberglass rebar. Y'all ain't sharp.
I go on and say that, no.
You don't even know what that means.
All right, here's what makes fiber rebar a no-brainer compared to steel. It don't rust. Steel rebar does rust and crack up your wall like biscuit. Two, fiber rebar is lighter than steel. Steel rebar is way more heavier, so that means it costs you more money and labor. And three, coated steel is more expensive than fiber rebar. And with cheap steel, you still have to paint it. Still costs you money. For more information, call Art Heavy Equipment and Development today at 603-4506 or 822-9522. Fiber rebar is better than steel.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
we're back from our break, and you're listening to Nailed It on Guardian 96.9. Debbie, talk to us.
Well, again, thank you very much to our sponsors for making this show a reality. We, again, are a nonprofit, and we, even though we do have things that bring in funds, it's not like we have tons of money to do this. And we, there's so many things that we need to do. We need to train, right? We need to help with some of the Cancer Society and the other that we've decided that we're going to sponsor and that kind of thing. So we're so grateful and thankful for each and every one of you and each and every business that has supported us and come on the radio actually with us and explained everything. I mean, we have learned so much about our sponsors that we never would have learned otherwise. And we're so grateful and thankful for you. So our sponsors for the show tonight are CBS Bahamas, Engineering and Technical Services, which is ETS, Lambert Knowles, The Paint Place, Sherwin-Williams, and then we have event sponsorships as well, which would be Superior Walls, Bahamas Closets, etc., Veritas Consultants, Woseley Construction, Paint Place, oh, I said that, I apologize, Trusco, and Simplified Lending. So thank you again so much, and we really, really appreciate everything. And please feel free when you have new products and new things that you're doing, feel free to give us a call and say, listen, we want to be on the radio. We've got some new stuff that we want to introduce to our customers and to the general public. We'd love to be a part of that.
Thank you, Debbie.
You're welcome.
I wanna kind of mention whilst I'm on my proposition and trying to plead to the Bahamian voting public for me to be the Minister of Construction. the Minister of Public Works, he can keep his job. I just want to be the Minister of Construction for all contractors. That's a whole different energy. Like how we have the Minister for Grand Bahama, I'm just going to be the Minister of Construction.
Okay.
And because the question next is for all contractors, and I want all my members and listening audience to listen up as I ask this question, because I will tell you right now, it is loaded. The question is, what's in it for me? So my pitch to the construction community is you should ask what's in it for you when you're considering to take on a contract. There sometimes is this thought that you should not make money from doing this. But the last time I checked on the definition of the business, of a business, is any commercial enterprise that you go into to make profit. That's the business.
Yeah, I would imagine that super.
It's the business.
I would imagine that one of the larger grocery stores here is not in there just for fun.
No,
they're not in there to make profit.
They know you have to eat, but they're not there just to feed you.
Yes.
They make a margin
right.
from providing that service. So I want contractors in 2026, after the 12th of May, to be more professional in your business. If the cost of installing the door is $50 and you have to pay the guy who installs the door $100. That's already $150. If you charge a client $150, you didn't make anything.
No.
Why are you doing that? That doesn't make sense. No. Now, you know who's happy? Client's happy. Mm-hmm. You know who's not happy? Your wife and children. That's two people that's not happy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're not going to be happy because you spent gas to go there, spent your time behind the door, and arrange all the work, and you got nothing for your time.
And see, again, when persons are pricing out building, they don't even think about We actually had to go see the job to start with.
That's time.
And then we have to go, and we have to go back to the job to do the job, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens if you need hinges for that job?
Mm-hmm. You have to go again.
Right. What if door trims? You know, all of these things add up.
They are costs.
And are you actually adding all of these things in, or are you, at the end of the day,
they're doing it gratis,
wondering why you're actually short?
Short. And then a final thing, the overhead costs that you don't fully consider. If your job,
your
if you
taxes,
live Carmichael Road,
your
and
phone.
Your job is a sea breeze, and you have to go up and down between those two, I can tell you one thing. You're going to go through more than a tank of gas a week.
Mm-hmm.
Who's paying that $100? Who's paying $100? Who's paying that? If you stayed at home, would you have to pay $100? No.
Nope.
That's a cost to the job.
That's right.
the portable toilet on your site. Who's paying that? Mm-hmm. If your job wasn't there, you wouldn't be paying it.
Right.
You'd be home using your own bathroom. You're on this job. You have to pay for that.
Right.
Is there site security that you put in place? All these costs. And so sometimes when we have conversations with contractors and I listen to them and I ask them, did you consider this, and this before you give this person this price? And whatever you didn't consider, you're still going to pay for it.
Right.
You just didn't bill anyone else for it.
Because, you know, something else that I actually pay for, which I don't really have to pay for because it you can get it done for free. Mm-hmm. But if I go to buy materials from a lumber store, right, I know they're going to tell me a week before I'm going to get my goods. So I actually pay somebody. I pay for it, and then I call so-and-so, and I say, hey, listen, the order's ready. Pick it up whenever you want to. Here, I sent you a picture of the invoice. You know, Dave's got the invoice, all that kind of stuff, right? I will pay for that because I need the goods there now, not in a week. And then if they say in a week and then nobody's there because they won't take them into the job and they won't take them upstairs into the job. So somebody has to has to physically sit there. My goodness gracious is all I can say.
Yeah.
And the logistics?
The logistics. And who's paying for that? So yes.
You have to add all of those things.
One of the things I and I'm going to say this and be very personal about this, about why I'm so glad I learned the professional way, how to do this business. My dad didn't. And I looked at how my dad did estimates. And I was obviously by 17, 18, like, so I looking at how he did it. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, so the scaffolding that you have that you already bought, just using it on the job?
There's no charge for it.
No charge. Just using the scaffold. The truck has no cost.
See, the only way
his time has no cost only for when he's doing the work. So his time is not billed at all. And I'm like, how does your time have a zero quotient? How is that possible? Debbie.
You have to pay yourself.
If you ask me to go somewhere and spend an hour somewhere, I will tell you what my billable hour is. Because my time has a value.
It's the same value as anybody else's value. We all value
our
time.
And I had a conversation with one of my buddy, and I hope he's listening to the show. And I said, please treat me just like your doctor or your accountant.
Right.
If I come to you to provide a service, my billable hour is not quite as high as them. But it's not as low as your gardener. Right. So be careful. If you sit down and you want to talk to me for 3 hours, you will get a bill that's close to $1,000. You'd be very, very cautious with your words and how long you want to take. Because we're professionals.
See,
that's the same value.
Some people will say, well, I paid $500 for the scaffold, so that's all I need to bill it. No, you bought it for that. But every time you use it, there is a fee. Because if you didn't own it yourself, you would have to rent it. So whatever you have to rent it for, you have to pay your company for renting that equipment. Because that is property of the company. And those funds go back into the business.
It is an asset of the company.
Yes.
It's a plant and materials.
Yes.
And your tools are plant and materials. Yes. Your chop saw, all those things are plant and materials. Because if you want to use them, and if you didn't have them, what do you have to do? You'd have to go and buy them. They're plant and materials. So anyhow, and then finally, I want to tell my contract what's in it for me. You're in there to make money, and you're in there to build a brand. That's what's in it for you.
Yes.
You're making money, but you're building a brand. What's in it for you is your name. What's in it for you is your brand as a contractor. What's in it for you is your brand as a professional. I do this all the time. I have a lot of people who don't, we've never met on Facebook. We've never met in person, but we know each other on Facebook. I see what they're doing. I put a drop of comment, hey, great, whew, that's a great roof. Good job.
Right.
Hey, oh man, that concrete work looks fantastic. I do it all the time because in this construction community, people do things.
We need to support each other.
And we need to support each other. Do. People do things to show how good they are. And when people are good, you let them know they are good.
Right.
This construction community thrives on people being proud of the work they do.
Because we can't be threatened by another contractor because we are all different contractors. We're all not going to get the same jobs. We're not even all interested in getting the same jobs. So complimenting somebody else
doesn't cost you anything.
Absolutely not.
And I've seen some fantastic guys out there. I've seen some guys over there, when I looked at it and say, you may want to take a look at that again. Mm-hmm. Just give them a little advice that, you know, you mm-hmm. may want to take a look at it. Mm-hmm. It's okay, but I'm seeing some things that should make you concerned.
Right.
But again, this is how we learn. Mm-hmm. This is how we look at and, mm-hmm. and reevaluate stuff. And then finally, the Bahamas Mortgage Corporation. And I put this here because the Bahamas Mortgage Corporation and the Department of Housing are doing an yeoman's job in delivering the residential housing units for the community of persons who get that product.
Right.
I've been in them. Mm-hmm. I've walked it. I think the quality is good. Mm-hmm. I think that what they're selling them for is unmatched. And as a contractor, I can't deliver that product and make money from it.
No, me either.
So it's not the business for me.
No.
Okay? But I salute. This is the part before this election where I salute the hardworking contractors who make those houses look as gorgeous as they do, mm-hmm. who get them completed, who, I don't know, you figure it out, and you get it done, and you go and do a next one, and you get a next one, you get them done. Because you guys are rock stars, because I haven't quite figured out how to do that yet.
But what the average person has to understand is that is not something that is the norm.
That
is not something that I could do, that you could do, that most of the contractors that we know in the association would not be able to.
And I consider persons like yourself and I commercial contractors where, you know, we do this stuff because we love it, but also we need to make margins. You know, mm-hmm. we don't do it just because we like to put a hand in dirt. That was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
No. So those guys, and mm-hmm. so Department of Housing, Bahamas Mortgage Corporation, they're doing a fantastic job with that mm-hmm. product.
Right.
Now, here's the part why because this is all politics, right? So this show is just a final part of politics.
Okay.
We got to all my lists. I'm pitching myself.
This is pretend politics.
Yeah, this is pretend politics, and you should vote for me for the Minister of Construction.
I'll vote for you, and I'll even make you a banner, okay?
And I will give you a voucher. Because we're doing that this election time. We're giving away vouchers.
I don't want a voucher. No, I don't want to be bought.
At Christmas,
I will
bring you ham and turkey, too.
No, thank you.
I'm telling you ahead of time what I'm bringing.
No.
And the final thing I want to say.
I like Moscato.
I'll bring ham, turkey, and Moscato. I'm going to be a different kind of minister here. And I'm going to sit and eat it with you, too, just so I get some of the food. I'm not bringing you food, and I'm not getting any. I think that's a foolish idea. I'd be fat if I was a minister. I'd go to everyone's house. I brought you a turkey last night. Can I have some?
Oh, you'd be doing a lot of running.
Yeah, I'll be eating. The final thing, I as the Minister of Construction, I vow to give the Bahamian people value for their hard-earned tax dollars. Mm-hmm. For example, and I posted some on Facebook, and I know C. Allen's listening. Seriously, just, I mean, like, it hurts my heart when I hear about the cost overruns we spend on projects that I know could be delivered better. So as your Minister of Construction, I can guarantee you, if we had a contract for $5 million to do something, we're going to spend $5 million. I can guarantee you, as your Minister of Construction, if we said we needed $25 million to build a building, we're going to spend $25 million. And I, in fact, guarantee you, as the Minister of Construction, if we said we needed $50 million to build something, we probably spend $48 million. And I'll share the $2 million in the public treasury so you can see where it's went. I mean, we got to stop this thing where we're spending money over and above and calling it a good time for construction. Because for us, that's business. We can't do business like that.
You know, oftentimes you will have an overrun on something because something will come up that wasn't expected, or you get something from the States and it didn't have everything.
But you
do that. But I'm just saying.
But it can't cost
the
double.
Overruns, I was just going to say
it
that.
Can't
the
cost
overruns
double.
That we see are twice as much.
Let me give you one case in point before we get off the air.
I want to be like that when I grow up.
The hurricane shelter in Abaco.
Uh-huh. I want to be like that when I grow up.
The original contract price. Mm-hmm. Original contract price.
How much?
Just under $3 million.
Okay.
it finished at almost 8. How do you double?
Did it? Was it? Would they make it bigger?
The place where we manufacture, I don't know, the place where we manufacture eggs and all that stuff. Now we get into poultry and stuff, whatever. You had 29. It's at 40. And from the construction community, what frightens me about this whole thing?
Have you seen a chicken yet? I'm not talking about the eggs. Have you seen a chicken yet?
They're very small and tiny. I don't know. I can't speak to it. All I just know is this.
You have to have a place that has chickens first before you can get
eggs.
I'm
not even getting into that today. Anyway, I want to say this, though.
Sorry.
For the three, we say we're going to spend, I'm mark my words, and I'm putting my name on this. Leonard Sands is saying this. If someone says we're going to spend roughly $300 million on the proposed new hospital, I guarantee you, this is a take the money to the bank guarantee you, we're going to spend north of $340 million on that. Because here's the track record. We've never delivered a project on budget, ever. When I say we, the Bahamas government, we've never done it. So I do not believe that we're going to spend $279 million or $289 million or $300 million. I am pretty certain that we're going to probably spend about $340 million, plus or minus, on the new facility. Because for some reason, we can't seem to get it right with budgeting construction. And as your Minister of Construction, I would fix that.
Don't they have a Minister of Finance?
Probably can't count good. I don't know. They do. I just don't know what happens. And I just know one thing. If I were a Minister of Finance and I gave you $10 million and you came back and asked me for another $10 on top of the $10, I'd say no.
Wow.
That's me. No. Unless you sit down and tell me exactly where this is going.
Mm-hmm.
Have you done that to your client, Debbie? I know I billed you out for $200. I need another $200.
Never.
But where?
Never.
We couldn't do it.
No.
So I don't want the public to think this is normal. No. This is not normal. And if there's an explanation, please bring it to the public.
Right.
I promise you this as Minister of Construction.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell me I want you $10 million to do this road and then I spent $40 and I didn't tell you why it cost another $30 million. That's not professional. So I'm saying this to all the people who currently reside in the spaces where you are using public funds for these construction projects with touch and feel construction industry, which is Debbie and I and the members in the construction community space. Don't continue to do that because it makes the good contractors in this country look like fraudsters, look like people who do not know what they're doing. When you show examples where you can't keep yourself in line with a budget that you set, you went to the QS department, you usually had QS measure all these things out and do these things. I've been on these jobs. There are lots of information. Mm-hmm. You can't be that far off that you need double the money.
Yeah, no.
So,
no.
And my closing remark. Name in public, I'd love to be a Minister of Construction. So on May 12th, if you could find my name on any ballot, you put an X.
Write his name on the ballot. No, I'm just kidding.
No, right on the ballot.
I'm joking.
If you find my name on a ballot,
I'm joking.
Leonard Sands for Minister of Construction to make sure that all the monies are accounted for and all the things that happen in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas happen professionally. We're going to get the licensing right. We're going to get the financing right. We're going to get the Contractors Act right. We're going to get Public Works right. We're going to get what's for me right. And we can get the Mortgage Corporation, they're right so far. So we don't have to do much with them. So I think Donald Redding, I haven't even started yet.
I'm going to get Donna to do a really fun Facebook page about you being the Minister of Construction.
Construction,
yes.
On May 12th.
Yes. Oh, and by the way, somebody was trying to call before the break, and we had to stop for the 7 minutes because that's when the ads were gone. So, but we've got like 2 or 3 minutes left if you would like to call back. We apologize for that, but our sponsors really would like us to actually play their ads and stuff. So we really had to do that.
So, my second job, if I get this job as Minister of Construction, I'm going to appoint Debbie Deal as my junior Minister of Construction. So
okay.
we both, you know, get after her. Now, what is so beautiful too, I was inside, and I forget to tell you this wonderful story. I was inside the Tile King the other day. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know the gentleman next to me, and two gentlemen are talking.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them they were having a discussion about tile leveling strips. And I hear the guy say, you remember Debbie Dealer to show you how to do that, right? And he said, yeah, well, you know, you have to use these things with Debbie because, you know, she go. I'm like, see, look at that. That's Debbie is everywhere, even on the lips of these tile people who know that you do not tile work for Debbie without tile leveling strips. Or else it's going to be a problem. I said, and I was there smiling, saying, yeah, you better get it right because, you know, Debbie go. But ladies and gentlemen, this has been.
I will be the junior.
She will be my junior minister of construction, and I will be a minister of construction. And on the eve of another election, I want you all to go and vote. Vote the party of your choice. Make it make sense to you.
Yes.
And then after that, continue building. That's all we got.
Yes. Good luck. Be safe.
Hey, y'all ever the new fiber steel on the market?
Yeah.
But don't rust.
Gone are the days of cracking spoils. That is a very easy to install. Fiber steel is here to stay. No more repairing a breakup wall. FRP's the new steel in town. No salty air will ever break down. Rust or corrosion, that's in the past. In the Bahamas, now we're built to last. Say goodbye to rust forever, man. Goodbye to corrosion by the ocean, man. Say goodbye to rust forever. No rust, no corrosion. Fiber steel in our future, brother, man. FRP's in our future.
For more information on FRP concrete reinforcement products, call our development today at 603-4506 or visit our Facebook and IG page at Our Development BFRP. Say goodbye to Russ forever.
This election night, trust the team you trust every single day. On May 12th, your Guardian radio hosts will be live from 6 p.m. until the election is called, with verified results, breaking developments, and reporting from the entire Guardian News Network, the teams from Guardian Digital and the Nassau Guardian, every day and every election day. Stay with the Guardian News Network on Guardian Radio 96.9 and Star 106 FM.
Service can be a little struggly sometimes in our beautiful Bahama land. But let Dee Dee and Shelly tell you about how Sherwin-Williams does customer service.
It's not only better in the Bahamas for the tourists, you know. Same way I would treat a tourist that come here, the same way I treat my Bahamian customers. And I service them with a bright smile. I just love working for Sherwin-Williams. If I could make any customer happy in any wish way, I'll do it every day. Customers is the love of my life, okay?
Sherwin-Williams Paints. Find color in every day.
The all-new CBSBahamas.com is faster, smarter, and we've made it even easier to browse our inventory of over 11,000 products. Earn reward points with every online purchase. Check out our new AI-powered chat assistant, available 24/7. You can even select a date and time for items to be delivered to your house, job site, or the mailboat. Our Family Island customers are loving it. Build beautiful throughout the Bahamas with the new CBSBahamas.com.
When we started Storm Frame Windows in 1999, we wanted to fabricate an impact-rated product to compete with the Florida market, and we've done this. There's no fabricator or vendor from Florida that can do what we can. Because we fabricate, we're a local-based company, we have the capability to provide better customer service than our competitors. With all the worldwide supply chain issues, we at Storm Frame have improved our fabrication process and have invested in producing our orders in 4 weeks. We also keep in stock over 400 windows and doors at standard sizes for walk-in customers to purchase. Our professional sales staff is here to assist you with the complete purchase and installation. We also service and ship to the Outer Islands.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
When I wake up in the morning and I take a walk outside, I see the sunshine.